Hey everyone, it's Norm Ferrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Okay, so like I mentioned yesterday, we've got a really great episode today with Michael Kurtz, and we're going to be talking about how you make your brand pop. Okay, he's got some really great tips. So Michael has worked with and in television and video games marketing, and he's just done a ton of stuff. We're going to dive into this, and just so you get to know a bit about Michael, it was so exciting to get him onto the show because he talks my language, and that's all about brand. So anyways, before we do that, Kelsey, where the heck are you?
I'm here. Welcome.
You didn't abandon me. That's good.
Thank you. I'm always here.
You are.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Manny. Welcome, Fatiha. Daniel. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been posting for our contest in our Facebook group. They are looking fantastic. So again, if you want to check it out, go to Facebook and type in hashtag LWN Beard Nation, and you can see some of the entries coming in, and they're great. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, head over to our Facebook group. We're running a contest only for the Facebook group. All the instructions, we have video, text, it's all there. So yeah, that's our one contest. We also have our AirPod contest happening. It's happening for 2 weeks now. I'll throw in the link and everything. And yeah, so if you guys can like those, smash those like buttons, subscribe to the video on YouTube, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're watching us from, that would be awesome. Welcome everyone. Hello, Dr. Cause, Daniel. Andrew's in China.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people on. Yeah, Marcia. Like you were saying, Manny, Fatia, Daniel, Dr. Cause, Andrew, Marcia, Andrew's somewhere in China. Yeah, he's very elusive, this guy.
But yeah, let us know how you guys are doing. Do you have any plans for the weekends? Steven's joining us too. I believe he's in Australia. So we got a crowd from everywhere, all around the world today. So Fantastic. That's awesome to see.
Now, it's time. If you have any questions, throw them into the comment section. And let's sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and enjoy the episode. Where are you, sir? All right.
Hello. Michael,
how are you, sir?
I'm excited to be alive. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know what I forgot to mention is your company name, which is Design From Scratch Concepts.
Yes.
So we met a while back, and you know, very impressed with the company and just our discussion in general. So I'm so glad that you can join us today.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do. And then we're going to talk about the giveaway, which is fantastic.
Sure.
So we'll go from there. Michael, who the heck are you?
Well, as you said, my name is Michael Kurtz, and your intro was pretty clear. You know, I've worked with in the design field for, gosh, almost 25 years now, even though it doesn't look it. I've been told I look young. But yeah, I've worked in the design field for almost 25 years in various aspects. And so about 3 years ago, I started this company, and I found that what a lot of people wanted was advice. And so I created the Design From Scratch Concepts Education Portal as a place to get that advice and to learn things, because branding, especially for small business owners, when this is their first foray into running a business, it's elusive, right? It's hard to understand. You know, you might be the greatest plumber in the world, but branding and marketing is something new to you. And so I've come along to help people who, you know, they're just starting out. Maybe they started their business from an inheritance, or, you know, they took out a loan, but like this is the dream they've been chasing for 5 years, and now they finally are going to go for it. And so I want to show them how to do it so that it works, because their competition is everybody. It's not just other small businesses. It's these big corporations too, but that doesn't mean they can't play the game with them. and look as professional as they do and have the same tactics and the same strategies that they do, because most of these strategies are free. They don't cost anything. It's just understanding the mindset of your customer.
Okay, very good. All right. Now let's get into the giveaway. What are you offering today?
I am offering a free 1-year subscription to my education portal, where you'll find videos that'll answer all your questions, and then a forum that'll answer even more of your questions. Basically, okay. the stuff that the videos, you know, the follow-up questions you have after the videos.
And you know, I've been lucky enough to take a look inside your portal. It's fantastic.
Any
small, medium-sized company, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to understand it. At least, you know, sometimes you don't create your own brand, but at least you have that knowledge, you know, what to look for when a graphic artist presents it to you. So if you want it, Kels, what did we come up? What unique hashtag have we come up with today?
We're going to try and build up our hashtag. So we're going to stick with one hashtag for all the giveaways we're doing now. So hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, put that in the comment section and there we go.
And you'll be entered.
That's right. So that's going to be our official hashtag for our prizes now. So yeah, hope you guys enjoy. Please post that in the comment section. Also, if you share the video, if you comment to people or tag them in the comment section, you'll get an extra bonus entry as well.
All right, fantastic. Okay, so hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. And if anybody has any questions, I'm sure out of everybody that's here, there's tons of people on the call right now. If you have questions about branding, if you've tried to do branding yourself, you know, just let us know. And we'll try to answer these questions while you're here. You know, if we even get the opportunity, I'm not sure if we can do this or not, Kels, but to either bring somebody on live or to upload a logo, you know, we could even critique it, you know, or a brand. So, you know, that's up. We have never done that before, but because we've got you here, Michael, people, if you want to upload, figure it out, send an email over to Kelsey and we'll get it uploaded. Or I don't know how to do it, Kels. Maybe we can just share. we'll figure this out. Okay. First question, Michael. Why is brand so important? And we talk about this a lot, but why, in your opinion, why is it so important?
Well, it's because that's the connection, right? So everything we do for our business, everything, whether it's we send out a brochure, we do a Facebook post, we have a website, we meet somebody at an event, right? All of those things are experiences. And the brand is what helps tie all of those experiences together. So you're driving down the street, you see a billboard and it has a logo on it. 3 months later, you see that same logo somewhere else. 3 months later, you see it on TV and you go, oh, you start to build these connections that when you're looking for that product that logo is selling, now you're connecting it. Like, oh, I'm familiar with this. I'm familiar with this. And so it breeds this familiarity. So I often talk about it like, say you're at a party, right? And you see people at a party and you see this person over here and this person over there, and you start to associate, I think I might want to go say hi to that person. They seem interesting. Or that person's giving me a weird vibe. I don't want to say hi to them. And based on how many times you see them at the party, makes you decide that, yeah, I definitely want to talk to that person. Everyone around them is laughing all the time. So I'm going to go find out what's so funny or, you know, what's so interesting, or even just, you know, oh, they keep bringing out food. I'm going to go over to the food table. Like whatever you see at that party, that's how your brand works. It's the same way. It's, oh, I want to be involved in this. I keep seeing this. It looks interesting. Everything that's tied to it makes me smile, or it makes me laugh, or it makes me think, and I want to know more. And so that's how your brand works, by building connections to all the little experiences that we create.
Very good. All right. So we've got a brand, or we're trying to build out this brand. What are some things that people have to know? What are the first things to tackle? And then what are some of the mistakes?
So I'll say this, and we kind of talked about this when we met a while ago. We all sell the exact same thing, right? Whether we think we sell plumbing or we think we sell, you know, legal services, we all sell the same thing, and that's an experience. And so by basing our brand around those experiences, we can better pull in our target market. And so tell me if this is answering your question right. So by focusing on our target market and creating our brand to appeal to that target market, we're creating these experiences. And so one of the mistakes that I see people make is they don't go into it thinking of their target market first. They go into it thinking, you know, again, I'm a plumber, so I fix stuff. But in that, you know, you have a wide variety of customers. You know, you have the family that's living paycheck to paycheck that needs you to be really cheap. And then you have the family or the single person, let's say, who has a ton of disposable income and doesn't care how much it costs. They just want it done right the first time. Well, those are two different people, and you're going to talk to them in a completely different way. The single person who has a ton of disposable income wants the nicely wrapped truck. They want, you know, the professional coveralls. They want the booties on the shoes when you walk in. Like, they want all that stuff. The family that's living paycheck to paycheck just wants the pipe to stop leaking. And if you show up in, you know, a regular truck that's, you know, just has the magnet on the side, and you're in the cheap coveralls, like, they don't care. They just want the pipe fixed. And so that's what you have to think about is, if I'm going after that single person with disposable income, I need to do all the stuff that's going to make them say, hey, great. And you have to keep in mind that even if they don't care, their neighbors might. So the neighbors that are looking at your truck going, well, we got a leak too. Yeah, but we're not going to call them. They make me kind of nervous, you know, versus, oh, look, their truck is so nicely wrapped. It's so this. This is great, you know. But then again, you go back to the family living paycheck to paycheck, and they just say, did they fix the pipe? Yeah, they fixed the pipe. Great. Could I have their number? You know, was it expensive? No, it was really cheap. Great. I want their number. And so that's who you're dealing with. You have to understand the slight dynamics of the target market. And I think when people are setting up their brands, that's what they forget about.
Yeah. And there's subtleties, you know, a person that doesn't drink wine can have the most expensive bottle of wine and the cheapest bottle of wine and think the cheapest is the best. I mean, right. You know, they just don't know. But once you start to understand, you know, the subtleties in a brand and the consistencies and the psychology behind it, I think it's important. So, and I'll give you just a dumb example, okay? Downton Abbey, great show. excuse me, gets me so excited, I'm choking.
So take a breath. Yeah, it'll be okay.
Downton Abbey. So, anyways.
You're getting the vapors. Okay?
Whatever they're called. But when they set up all the cutlery, you know, very specific, very, you know, so far in between, they've got measuring. Well, it's very consistent. I can go to a greasy, you know, diner, and the fork could be, you know, on the opposite side. It could be on the top of the plate. It could be wherever.
Who cares? On the floor.
Who cares is the different clientele, the demographic, right. You know? And it's so important on the Downton Abbey type of, you know, they're expecting at a greasy diner, you're expecting this. And the difference is cost, right? It's understanding it. And, you know, some of the things that I look at with brand that are some mistakes, people don't understand the subtlety of space. So everything's crunched together.
Yeah.
Or just, what are they called? Effects. Putting too many effects in, you know, or too many colors.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Some of these, like, I've got some examples that I have that, you know, you just wouldn't believe because you can't read the logo, or they've got, I know there's one that comes to mind, this golf doctor one, where it's just like an animation, but it looks so stupid, you wouldn't take them serious.
Right.
You know, or this other one called Fire Something, and it's got this burning man running into this piece of film. It doesn't make any sense. So sometimes, like one of the things that I like looking for is, you know, the simplest, more simple, the better.
Yeah.
You know, keep your fonts down to a minimal, try to keep them the same. The sizing, you don't have to have 10 different types of fonts. But one of the things that I love
you
getting.
You shouldn't have 10 different types of fonts.
Exactly. Shouldn't have 10 different types of fonts. You know, I try to stick to one or two.
Yeah.
But also, a spec card that talks about your Pantone color or, you know, just to be specific, because I can tell, okay, Michael, you know, what color is the green behind you? Well, is it a lime green or a copper green or a this green? I can never match it. I can't describe, but I do know with a Pantone color, I can give that to anybody and they'll match it. And that's so important.
Yeah.
So let's talk about consistency.
Yeah, let's talk about consistency.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
All right, let's talk. So first of all, let's talk about consistency in an interesting way. So when you hire somebody to make your logo, in order to achieve consistency, they should give you a bunch of different logos, which sounds counteractive to consistency, but I'm going to explain why. And this is kind of a sneak peek into one of the courses I offer. But you should get at minimum four logos. So the first one should be RGB, and that's the visible spectrum. So that's what you'd use for the screen. The second one should be CMYK. Those are the colors in your printers. So that's for when you want stuff printed. Another one should be grayscale, and that's essentially for when you have to have 1,000 prints and you don't want to pay for it. And the fourth is a single color, and that's where it's adapted to only be one color. And obviously the RGB for the screen is obvious for websites and videos and Facebook posts. The CMYK is obvious, you know, because when you get something printed like a brochure or something like that. And the grayscale, as I said, when you don't want to have 1,000. The single colors for when you're going to do something like pens, or if you want to have like say you have an office and you want to have the window frosted, or you need anything that just you get one color. And the reason that you get these four different logos is to stay consistent, because once you start transferring colors, I guarantee you a dark red and a dark blue, when they turn to gray, is the same color. And that contrast that was set up in the full color version is gone.
Right.
In the single color, right, you might thicken the line weights. You might make, you know, what was red transparent and what was blue a solid color. Maybe you just purely go to line art. But it's and it's designed to be shrunken down. If you're going to, like, say you're going to put it on a pen, I mean, you're looking at, you know, 3/16 of an inch high for your logo. So you're going to minimize the details so that it's clear at such a small size. Whereas, you know, if you put it on a billboard, it, you know, it doesn't matter. And then I say you want to make sure that you get a raster and a vector. So the raster version, that's your JPEGs and your PNGs. And those are the ones that you can't scale. The vector version is your EPSs, your PDFs, and your Illustrator files. And those are the ones that you can blow up to the size of a building. And the reason you want to make sure you get all of that stuff is because if you only have the raster and then for some reason you, like you said, you want to get something bigger, it doesn't scale. And now you're stuck having to hire someone to recreate the thing you just paid for someone else to make. So just to get all of that stuff right at the beginning, to know to ask for it, right? Because some designers will just say, oh, okay, I'll give you this. Great. And if you say, no, I want this version of this version of that version, please make sure I get these file types, then you don't have to go back later and have somebody recreate it. And it saves you a lot of time, frustration, and money. And so that's my biggest tip for staying consistent.
Now, with you were talking about PNGs and JPEGs, could you not just use a PDF for everything now?
You can, absolutely. But I mean, obviously, if you're going to do, you know, if you want to do graphics for a website, I mean, they only work as PNGs and JPEGs and things like that. So, you know, you're going to upload it or give it to your web designer to upload. They're either going to convert it for you, or, you know, they'll, if you're doing it yourself, which I advise, don't ever build your own website. But if you are doing it yourself, then you'll have to convert it. But yeah, obviously, you know, you can do all that stuff from a PDF. But again, I know a ton of people that bought logos that I've had to help because the only thing they got was a JPEG.
Yeah, and it's so simple. Like, there's a checklist. You know, just what you were talking about before, what you're looking for, you know, with the grayscale and with the single or solid color, with the CMYK, with the Pantone, but everything that you just mentioned could be on a checklist and the different formats that are required. Now, the only other thing that I would round that up with is a solid spec card that a lot of the times, especially if you're going to cheap graphic artists, they're just going to use a template or something very simple, send it over to you. You're going to think it's fantastic. Your customers are going to think otherwise.
Yeah.
And then possibly, but that spec card, wherever you're sending it over to your supplier over in China, you're getting boxes done over in North America. You've got signage for your store. Your website, everything is consistent. Your templates on your social media. When we do our templates, that orange that you see, it's everywhere. It's right. A specific color associated with the podcast.
Right. So, and that ties back into that connection, right? That ties back into every time I see that color, I know, oh yeah, that's the color from the show, right? That's
right.
And your logo's solid. It's real easy. And so Giz, I'm going to get the number wrong. Giz120256 says,
that's Victor.
Ah, Victor. Okay. So in your comment, so he said it's important to have a logo that fits nicely in a circle. So I actually say that's another version of the logo, and it's specifically for an avatar. So what you want to do is you can have whatever logo you want, but when it comes to doing your social media profile and you do your avatar, I actually, for the people I work with, and I always advise, make one custom for that. That way, because you're right, like if you do it purely, my logo has to fit in a circle, you're limiting yourself. And it'll fit weird on your paper, or it'll fit weird on your banner or whatever. But by doing one specifically for that, again, because it's, you know, it's this big on the screen. By doing it that size, you can custom make it. So like I've done stuff where it's, you know, if it's a longer name, obviously you're not going to be able to read that, right? It'll be too small to read. So you just do the initials, right, over top of the logo. And you can do something custom that still works with the logo, but doesn't necessarily have to be the exact logo. It's just a close enough avatar that, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to bastardize the logo. So some of the things, I'm sure you do the exact same thing, is we have, like over at the chat agency, we've got a bubble, like chat, and then below it, it says the chat agency. Looks good. Aesthetically, it looks nice. However, there's times where it doesn't fit in. It just doesn't fit in. And there's different ways of not fitting in. The actual word, the chat agency, has to be black sometimes, but if it's on a black background, you got to make it white. So that's another version of the logo. Okay. And sometimes you have to make it horizontal. So if we want to do it, okay, how far away does the font start from the logo?
Right.
The trademark. Where is the trademark positioned?
Right.
Because if you put it down below, or if you put it up above, or if you put it off to the side, it might not look good when you put this together. And the final thing with this, now just think of everything stacking up here. We've got that whole list, but you've got the whole list again, vertical, horizontal. And then you've got another version of this with the tagline.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's all stuff that needs to be considered as it's getting put together of, you know, where am I going to use this? What am I going to do with it? And I've said it before, Norman, I will say it again. The logo is the most important part of your business. It trumps everything else.
Yeah.
Because 100%. without that logo, you have, you know, that's how you get your customers in. And I say the logo serves several purposes. One, it's the face of your business, right? That's the thing that everybody sees and recognizes. I mean, to the point where your logo is your face, right?
No pun intended.
Yeah, but it is. It's it's the face of your business. But it also does another thing, and I think we're all familiar with elevator pitches. So the logo is a visual elevator pitch, because how many times have we walked into a store, said, oh, that looks interesting, I want to see what they sell, and you walk in purely because of the logo.
Mm-hmm. Now, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of smaller sellers that are listening, and they're probably wondering, do I have to spend all this money right now? And if you're brand new and if you're testing out the market, I don't know if I'd risk it, because if you're testing it out and you're just trying to establish a brand or even see if that brand's going to make it, I don't know if I'd put, unless you're putting the logo on the product. So with me, with the soap, I had to come up with a logo that was pretty cool right away, because I was marketing that product. But I knew before I launched that this should be successful. Or with some of the dog products that we do, you know, before we launched, we knew we were going to be successful. If you're testing out products, you can't spend the money on a good graphic artist to come up with something to test a product. You do that afterwards. Would you agree, or how would you go about that?
I would say, here's what I would do. If you're an online seller, I would say that logo is still just as powerful, because every time you buy something, right? If you buy something from seller A and you have a great experience, it's the same thing as the next time I see you, and because I'm having a ton of fun here, but the next time I see you and I go, oh, it's Norm. Oh my gosh. Hey. And it's the same exact reaction as I bought a widget from this company, from company A. And then 2 months later, I have to buy something else. And oh, company A is selling this too. Great. Now, I might not remember the name of company A, but I promise you I'll remember that logo. I'll remember that logo immediately. The first, because it's locked in now. And so as soon as I see that, the problem that I see is if you change that logo, right? It'd be the same as if you shaved your beard off, right? Everything's gone and I don't recognize you anymore. And it's, wait a minute, the logo, like, because now you'd have to do a new logo where there's no beard and all this stuff, and I'm gonna go, I think I know that guy, I think I've met him before.
That's the other podcast.
it's velcroed on, you just pull it off. But I'd be like, I think I know that person, but I'm not sure, they seem familiar to me, versus, oh, I know you, like, yeah we did the podcast, it was awesome, I had so much fun. And so I think establishing it right away is important, because the sellers that have a good experience will come back going, gee, I have the choice between buying a widget from company A or company B, but company A did me so good the last time, even though it's 5 cents more, I'm going to go with company A because I feel safer with them. And so, you know, it is important to have that connection. I don't know that I would say spend $10,000 on a logo for what you're doing, but I also I'd say the same thing to a plumber who's just starting out. Like, don't spend $10,000 on a logo, but if you understand the principles of what goes into the logo, you shouldn't have to, right? You shouldn't have to spend all this money to get the best of the best, because you know what to ask for. You know what to say. This is what I need. This is what I'm trying to do. Because you understand the science behind it. And so you can guide that designer, who should also know the science behind it. Make sure you talk to them about that. But, you know, because you understand the science behind it, and there is a lot of psychology in how logos work, a ton of it. And it's important to know it because it's actually stuff that I go into my course of, you know, drive down the street and ask yourself why every fast food restaurant has a massive amount of red in their logo. There's a reason for it. And if you understand, like I said, you understand that psychology, you can make your logo work. Green and orange are the most visible colors on the spectrum. They are the first thing we'll see. And it's no surprise that Norm's logo is orange because of that, you know. And so, you know, it's knowing these things of, hey, if I really want this thing to pop, you know, say I'm selling on Amazon. Well, Amazon has a lot of orange on their site. So maybe I make it green to contrast with that. Or maybe I make it blue, or, you know, say I'm selling a food service, right? So I'm going to make it red because every other food service is red, you know, just, so, and knowing those things, it's a huge help and will save you a ton of money.
Where that can help, Michael, if you're selling on Amazon and you've got your product listing, Brian Johnson was on and he was talking about how to differentiate yourself, right? So if you've got plastic shoe stretchers and they're black or red, those are the two main colors. I know this. Don't ask me why. But anyways, with plastic shoe stretchers, black, red, if you were to make something a green or an orange, that would stand out enough to drive your eye over. And, you know, if they're the exact same product, but the manufacturer can do that, then that's just another way to get people to take a look at your product. And you could even, if you do a little bit of packaging, you could even charge more because it's a different color. And right. The other thing that I think is important is what you're trying to achieve with the personality of the brand. And, coffee time. So it's the personality of the brand. Do you want a high perceived value? Are you charging a premium? What does right. it look like? You know, so many people, we were talking about, Kelsey and I were talking about this the other day for Lunch with Norm. We came up with a font and it just didn't work on the blog. And so it was like, this cheapens the blog.
Right.
You know, people are going to get confused. So hopefully Kelsey did his job and he changed it. But if not, you can see it.
Kelsey.
But it is changed, by the way.
Did you?
It is. Yeah, right, everyone so goes over to the, this is Very a good. Quick plug for our website, lunchwithnorm.com. Go over to the blog section. You'll see all the different fonts there. Or all one font, sorry. And yeah, it's all changed over.
Oh, very good. You did your job. Okay. So now, you know, heading into the second half, first of all, we have a great giveaway today, and it's going to be a free 1-year subscription to Michael's course on branding. I've been into the course. I've seen it. I've taken a look at it. It's fantastic. Anybody who wants to understand brand a bit more, you know, this is going to be a great giveaway. So all you need to do is hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. That's the new hashtag. Tag two people and you get two entries. The other thing is, I know that we have questions. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. But if you do have issues with your brand, you know, did you pay? I'm kind of curious. Did you do it yourself? Did you pay on Fiverr? Did you go to a real graphic artist? Let us know, you know, how you came up with your brand. Now, if you're brand new, don't worry about it. But I'm talking about existing sellers here. Be interesting to see how people came up with their logos.
Yeah, that's also interesting. And I like that you separated. Did you do it yourself? Did you do it through Fiverr? Or did you hire an actual designer?
Yeah.
Nothing
bad about Fiverr, but there are good artists on Fiverr. So just yeah, in case anybody's listening.
I have issues with Fiverr, if I'm allowed to discuss that.
You, go ahead.
My issue is that you get what you pay for. Yeah. I know the problem is, and I'm looking at this from the designer's point of view too. In order to compete, because it is such a highly competitive area, because there's so many people all vying for your dollars, that they have to undercut themselves and sell their product at an unfair price. And that's by choice. Fiverr doesn't force them to do it, but that's, you know, it's a dog eat dog world and that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
So to do that, they still have to pay rent. So that means they are not spending the tender, loving, caring time on your logo that they should be, because if they're doing logos for, let's say, $5, right, they got to crank those things out as fast as possible. Otherwise, they're making $2.50 an hour. And, you know, I know it's a worldwide thing. So in some countries, that's more money than it is in others. But, you know, in North America, it's not a lot of money to feed your family with. And so I don't think you're going to get a logo that's, I don't think you're going to get a logo that's going to do its job, because you're going to get a logo that they've slightly changed from the last logo, and they've slightly changed from the last logo.
Exactly.
And then they're going to look exactly the same. And part of one of the things I do in my courses is I play this game where I put a whole bunch of logos up on the screen and make you try to find a specific one and to see, can you do it? And I have yet to have anyone find it. I mean, I only give you like 2 seconds to do it, but I say that's because that's all you have to find it while driving down the street, right? And so if your logo looks like everybody else's, or if you buy it off of one of these, you know, like Shutterstock or something, your logo looks just like somebody else's. And when we're going through the Google image search, because the only thing we can remember is the logo, so we type in, you know, logo of a shoe, and 500 shoe logos pop up. Can you find the one you were looking for because you couldn't remember the company name? If you can't, that company has lost your business. And so, you know, again, it goes back to using the colors, using the fonts, and using things to make it unique. Now, granted, there still might be 500 shoe logos out there, but yours is identifiable because of the colors, because of the shape, because of the uniqueness. And then, oh, yeah, there it is. It's the fourth one down, right? And then it pops and they click on it. And then that provides the link to the website. Then they get to the website. And now they're able to buy your stuff. Or, you know, if you're selling on Amazon, well, here's a list of sellers you can choose from. And you're going, I think it's that one. I think that's the one I bought from before. But if all of those logos are similar, then which one did I buy from? I don't remember. And so that's really important. And so I always push. Again, I say the logo is the most important part of the business because it's the only thing that's going to connect you. It's your face, and it's what people are going to remember, and it's what's going to connect them from, I'd like to buy from them again, but how do I find them? And the only way they're going to do it is the logo.
Yeah. And if you're going to go and build that micro brand from Amazon into an e-commerce spread, you know, and create advertising and social media, you know, going back to that consistency, where does it start? And you have to build that culture. You have to figure out for yourself what you're all about. And that starts, well, Jeff Sass was talking to us about this in a prior episode, but building out that brand story. You know, it sounds crazy, but build out a story about your brand. I mean, that's absolutely a starting point. The other thing that's really important, the difference between a graphic artist and somebody that creates corporate identity, two different things.
Yes.
So, you know, first of all, a graphic artist is going to say, oh, what color would you like? Oh, you know, a corporate identity specialist, which is going to be a lot more, is going to ask you a ton of questions about your business, about your corporate culture, about this, that, the other thing. You're going to end up with a ton of different questions that you're not going to get from somebody on Fiverr saying, okay, you know, what color would you like?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, and that leads me to another question. First of all, if they're not at getting asked questions, run. But what type of questions would you be looking for, you know, to when somebody's developing not only their logo, but what's going to end up being their corporate culture, their corporate identity?
Right. Well, and so before you even get into that, you should know your target market, because your identity, in other words, you know, we've all been that person who's walked into the restaurant after a day of yard work, and everyone's dressed nicely, and you went, uh-oh, I don't think I'm dressed for this place. Now, that doesn't mean tomorrow you wouldn't have been. That just means you were like, I'm tired. I just want to grab something, and you misunderestimated how fancy the restaurant was. But you don't want to be that person, right? You don't want to be the company that's misrepresented. So again, if your target market is this group of people versus that group of people, and again, it can be whittled down so much that it's hard to give it in a metaphor to say, oh, a low income person or a high income person, they think differently, because they might not, you know, depending on what you're selling, they might not. So we'll just say group A and group B. If you're not matching group A, which are the people that would be interested in your product, then you're not going to get them. But group B isn't going to come either, because you're not selling a product for them. So you really have to understand the target market and who you're going after first, because, you know, oh, our target market, everyone in our target market is going to have a sense of humor. So you want silliness in your logo. Now, when I say silliness, I don't mean childish. I mean, it's cute. It's fun. It makes people smile. Right. But if you're going after corporate clients, you want a completely different experience, right? It's we're business first and we're this and we take ourselves very seriously. So you're not going to have something that makes people smile. You're going to have something that makes people go, okay, everybody, like, this is the big deal. This is, we got to take this seriously. Everybody knock it off. And so, right. But that's the thing, is if you're not focused on that already, you're going to pick the wrong colors. You're going to pick the wrong fonts. You're going to pick the wrong everything. And like you said, we picked the font and we felt it cheapened our brand. Now, there's a group of people that font would have been perfect for, but it's not your group of people. And that's what's really important to know, is who your group of people is before you even start your brand identity. Because you could tell this amazing story that they go, yeah, I don't relate to that at all, you know?
Yeah. Before we go on, I think we've got a ton of questions, and maybe we can get to it. But if you're listening to this for the first time, or if you haven't done this, you like the content that you're hearing, which, Michael, it's fantastic. Give us a like or subscribe to our YouTube. I see we've got a bunch of YouTube viewers today, but you know, give us a like, subscribe to the channel. We produce tons of content every week. Okay, Kels, what are the questions today so far?
Okay, so we have lots of questions. We also have five or six brands that emailed me to show their logos.
You're telling me. Cool.
Yep. So we can go over those too. So we so we got lots and lots to go to. So let's see, what do you want to do first, questions or logos?
Let's do a couple questions and then let's get to a logo or two.
Okay, great. So let me see.
And we'll really back Michael into a corner.
That's what I'm good at, man.
I use 99 Design and I ran a contest for the logo. However, I want to make it better. Would you recommend any designers?
Again, here's the problem by recommending designers is, you guys have to have a connection, right? Designers are artists, and everything they do, it's part of their personality. The question is, do you click with their personality? So it's not the same thing as hiring, I don't know, a plumber, right? Like, they're going to show up, they're going to fix the pipe, and then they're going to go home and you're going to go, great. And it either worked and you're happy, or it didn't work and you're not. An artist is going to come in and they're going to say, this is my idea, right? I like thicker lines. I like brighter colors. I like this. I like that. You know, the way I draw faces has googly eyes versus realistic eyes, you know, it's all of these things. And so it's really important to look at their portfolio, to really look at it and say, do I like the stories they've told? Do I like, you know, because again, there's designers that are great for corporate businesses. There are designers that are great for, you know, the funner type stuff. And it's really, what are you trying to do? And can this designer do it? Because a peek behind the curtain is, we're not great at everything. right? We have our talents, we have our specialties, and we pick those, right? We will turn down jobs because we're going, that's not my style. I don't work with good with that. And so that's what you want to do, is you want to really study their portfolio, really look at it and say, do I like this? Does this fit the story that I want to tell? And do I think that that designer will understand the story that I'm trying to tell before you pick them? And have them explain the whole vision. Like, don't just say, oh, can you make this for me? Great, I'll talk to you later. But have them talk out the vision. Do not be afraid to say, I don't like that. Any designer worth their whatever is okay with you saying, this is crap, start over.
No, they actually like it. It gives them better direction.
Right. 100%. I love it. I mean, it's frustrating at times. I'm not going to lie. It is frustrating when you've worked really hard on something and they go, ah, no, that's just not what I want. And you go, okay, all right, I'll start over. Because we do. We put a little piece of our heart into that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we also understand that our kids have to grow up and move away someday. So, but just understand that, you know, you want to evaluate their style and how they do things before you choose one.
Yeah, I just saw something pop up there. I'm not sure who it was, but you know, they'd paid like $50 and then they paid $86 and didn't like what they got. And these are things that you can go to Fiverr and you can get sort of those random graphic artists. But like, just to give you an example from our end, if we're working with corporations, you know, we're looking at starting at around $750 and you end up going up to easily $1,250 or something.
Sure.
But you get what you pay for. I mean, that's the difference between, you know, somebody that actually knows corporate identity and somebody on Fiverr. So, mm-hmm. I don't know where that, I mean, that could go anywhere. I know this one guy who did this Fortune 5 is, I won't say the brand, but, it was you can figure it out probably. It's a circular pattern that's kind of stretches out like a peace sign. And I knew the graphic artist that did it, and he got paid $72,000 to do it. And wow. He said, yeah, you know what? I was on acid. I was looking up at a peace sign, and it just kind of stretched out. And he says, that was my design. And he's, whoa.
Yeah, but inspiration comes from anywhere. I mean, I don't necessarily advocate hiring a designer on acid. But yeah, but that's the thing, is it's, you know, we work weird hours, because I mean, there's been times where I've woken up in the middle of the night going, Eureka! And run, yeah. You know, run to the drawing board. It's just, you know, again, I would say if you find a designer who's starting out, you can get them much cheaper than $72,000, because, you know, again, if their portfolio is smaller, it doesn't mean it's bad. Mm-hmm. But they're eager to build that portfolio. So, you know, a designer that's been around for 5 years might charge you $1,500. A designer that's been around for a year and a half might charge you $400, you know, just because, look, I need to get the portfolio up. I need the exposure. I need the word of mouth. And so I'm willing to commit to a cheaper price, but still give you the same quality. Because again, artists have two rules. They either do it for the money or they do it for the portfolio. And every artist has taken a job because it's not great pay, but man, is this going to be a great project, and I just can't say no to it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Kel's next question.
And I want to throw this over to the Beard Nation, our audience listening. How was your experience with your first designer? Do you have any stories of your graphic designers and your logos and how they've come to be? So yeah, let us know what your experience was. Did you start with Fiverr? Did you try making your own logo? Did you go big right off the bat? Let us know in the comments section. But our next question is from Fatiha. What's the best way to come up with a brand name?
Oh, that's a great question. So it's actually pretty simple. You take everything you can think of. And again, this is something I talk about in my courses. There's a whole course just on coming up with a name. But because it's Norm, I will peel back the curtain and let you know. You take every word you can possibly think of, gibberish, anything, any word you can think of and you write it down as fast as it pops into your head. Just write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. And when you can't think of anything else, put it aside, go back to it and write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. Then look at all that stuff and ask yourself, what words here match my target market? What words here stand out to me? Like, right? Like, oh, I noticed this word. This word's drab and I don't really notice it, but this word here, it sticks out. And then you take those words and you put them together, right? So if, you know, the word is dynamic industries, right? Oh, yeah, dynamic industries. That's great. It really stands out. So maybe you change it from dynamic to dynamo, right? Oh, there's already a dynamic industries. So you change it to dynamo, things like that, because then what you want to do, at least for the listeners in the US, the first thing you do is you go to the patent and trademark office and you look to see if there's already a trademark on it. Because if there is, you can't use it. At least you shouldn't use it. Then you want to check to see if the website.com is available. And the reason that you want it to be a .com is because that's what we think of first. It's just the easiest one. So if the name is available, if the whatever trademark that's used in your country is available, then you have a name. If not, you sit in a corner and you cry for about 20 minutes and then you do it again. You know, you go back to the list of words and you pick stuff out until you find something that's not only awesome and memorable, but available. And that's where I see a lot of businesses get hit is, in fact, there's a business here in Phoenix that they came up with a name and they got sued by a company that had kind of sort of a similar name. But they were a huge nationwide company and this was just a ma and pa industry and they got decimated, absolutely decimated because this big company had all the lawyers they could ask for. And this little company, even though they probably would have won, couldn't afford to fight them. And all because the name was similar. And I do believe that had they done their research, they would have said, oh crap. Maybe we're playing with fire here.
That kind of comes to another, this is a whole other comment, but why you don't do your trademark yourself.
Yes.
You know, hey, you've got your design.
Yeah.
You've checked it all out. There's a domain sitting there and you screw it up because you make something, you know, so niche oriented or get a trademark attorney involved.
And yes,
we talked to a few different trademark attorneys on these podcasts, but you know, you got to do it. You know, spend that money. It's the best, whatever it's going to cost, $2,500, whatever it is, get it done.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so important. Again, just to pile on what you were saying, it's so important to do it as soon as you come up with the name, right? Like, even if you're like, I'm never going to be able to start this business, you know, because I got, you know, I'm waiting until my kids turn 18, right? And they move out or they go to college or whatever. And once they're done, or once I reach this point in my life, then I'll be able to do it. Great. But if this is a dream you've had for 5 years, we both know that you're sitting on that name. So buy the .com, get the name now, because you have it. Then you have it for whenever you're ready for it. And the worst thing that happens is you decide 5 years from now, I don't want to do it. Well, maybe somebody else has come up with that idea and you can at least sell them the name, right? Maybe the couple hundred bucks that you spent to hold on to this name, you can make back because now the name has increased in value. You know, there's a whole industry of, you know, how people flip houses. Well, there's an industry of people who just flip domain names. They buy the domain name, they drive a bunch of traffic to it to raise the cost of it, and then they sell it. And it, you know, it takes like 2 years, but they make a good chunk of change off of it. So it's worth getting it now, even if you never use it.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. From Kurt. Is it a must to put the trademark next to a trademark logo, the little TM for those listening?
I know the laws of this stuff change a lot, and it varies from country to state to everything. So I would actually defer that question to a trademark attorney, because I don't want to give the wrong answer.
Yeah, I can, huge disclaimer, not an attorney, but I do this all the time. And again, not an attorney, but right. The TM for us when we're doing a design is we'll throw the TM up there to show that it is in use. Never put the R up there unless it's a registered trademark. But to show that it's in use, that you know you're doing business, you can put the circle with the TM. Just again, you want to confirm that with an attorney.
But, yes.
You know, that's what we've been doing forever. And anyways, it just shows that the logo is in use. The mark is in use.
Okay, great. And if you guys are enjoying this episode, please smash those like buttons. Let us know what you think in the comments section. And our next question is from Dr. Kaz. Hey, Michael, what percentage of ad spend would you allocate just for brand recognition / awareness?
Depends on your budget. Depends on how new you are. Obviously, if you've been around for 5 years, you know what works, you know what doesn't. Part of starting out is there is some trial and error. You know, there's still trial and error if you've been around for 5 years, because trends change, but there's more so if you're just starting out. And so I would say, again, it depends on your budget and what your industry is. So if you're opening a restaurant, you have a lot of expenditures. You know, you have to buy equipment, there's food, there's supplies, there's people you have to hire. So you have a lot less money to spend. But again, then you have to spend a lot of it because you want to advertise to the neighborhoods, you want to do this, you want to do that, versus, you know, if you're an online store, you're going through Facebook ads, you're going through these type of things to draw attention back to a website or a shopping portal or something like that. So you're not going to spend as much because you're not doing any of the print ads that a restaurant would, right? Because a restaurant's going to flyer the neighborhood. Hey, they're going to send out coupons and, you know, do the things that that you hang on your door and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, oh, I'm an online store. All of that money is saved because you're not printing anything, and printing's really where the money in advertising comes from. Because, you know, we've all done the Facebook stuff and go, wow, that's not very expensive. I sure did a lot for, you know, $200 versus I spent $3,000 to get, you know, all these door hangers printed, you know, cause I had to hire a designer to make them. And then I had to hire the printer to do them. And then I had to hire somebody to go pass them out. So it's that's just a tough question to answer without knowing the industry.
Yeah, search volume and, you know, competitiveness will definitely drive that. I know for one brand that comes to mind, I mean, we do everything in PPC to protect the brand. We know that people are coming after it. So we'll, and it's actually, you know, it's kind of expensive, but we protect it. So it's a brand awareness play that if somebody comes in, you know, we've got the brand sponsored brands display the products and target our competitors, but we are protecting the brand on the brand's name. So XYZ brand, somebody types that in, you know, we're protected.
Okay. Do you want to, we have a couple more questions, but do you want to go over some brand designs too?
Let's
I think 1 o'clock. This is exciting.
Okay. So thank you everyone that sent
in the
logos.
I can't believe people are sharing their brands, by the way. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is awesome. And can I just preface that this advice is coming, and if it's not what you wanted to hear, I apologize, but you know, you're asking, so we're going to tell you.
All right, so here we go. Some of them, they gave some information. Some of them, they didn't. So
okay.
I believe this is a slipper company.
Okay. So I get the sun and the moon represent you can wear it all day long. So that the story in the logo is pretty well told. The only thing I'm concerned about, and not necessarily something that needs to be changed, I would consider thickening the lines of the actual image just a little bit, just because at the size that I'm looking at, it's a little hard to make out the details. But I mean, overall, like I said, I pick up the story. I like the name of Soulmates. Like, it stands out, and it has that, you know, soulmates, but soul of your feet. So like, I think the story's really easy to follow and easy to understand, and you know, it's catchy. And so, yeah, like I said, that would be my only critique if I was going to give one, is just to thicken the lines a little bit, just so
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for that.
Are you okay with the color? Just a sec. Are you okay with the color, Michael?
I'd like to know why they picked it, but I'm not going to necessarily say no. I would be curious why they chose this over a dark blue, to kind of indicate a more of a like this is an aggressive color.
But for those listening, it's a red, a darkish red color. For audio listeners.
Right. I'm just kind of curious, like if I were able to see the packaging put together and the product, you know, everything might be perfect. This is a very nice design, but like you said, Michael, especially on the logo, it's just very fine. To see, but anyways, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next one. So some of the resolution, just because I'm stretching it in Canva. But yeah, this is the next logo.
So do we know what it is? I'm assuming that there would normally be a name with it, like either next to it or above it or something like that. So do we know anything about?
Yeah, I do. I just want to make sure it's okay to kind of say it. Marsha, is it okay to mention? We don't have to talk about the brand, but just what you're doing. Yes. Okay. So.
No, she hasn't replied yet.
Okay. So anyways, let's just say this is a PPE product. Okay.
Okay.
So it's, all right. So this is a really cool product that you can put on your cell phone or, she's got other products, but it's a antibacterial, antivirus, anti-this, using natural product like copper. And it's a great product. So it's got to reflect antibacteria, anti, like a PPE product. And kind of the one product is on a cell phone. The others are, there's a variety of other products. So it doesn't really tie in. Oh, I shouldn't say it doesn't tie in. If I'm looking at this, I could almost say, I can see the cell phone use, but there are other products.
Yeah, no, that, you. So no, that actually makes a lot of sense, because now that you say that, I see that it's a fingerprint. Mm-hmm. So what does the S stand for?
Oh, that's her logo. That's the name of her brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
But normally, would it also have the name?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Okay. So then, yeah, then I would say, the only thing I would say is make sure the name is always with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that would help tell the story. Because once you've explained it to me, then yeah, the fingerprint pops out, and that's where we connect with the phone, is with our fingertips, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we use our finger to stand in, to get the security in. You know, we're touching it, we're swiping. So I like the concept. I do. I like the color green. Because it's calming, and there's
and it's copper,
right, which is what happens to copper. I think it's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing I've ever had, like I've known this product for a while. It was hard for me to understand the S. I didn't see it at first, and then when I got it, it was like, it stands out.
Yeah, but that kind of long form development in your brain is what makes it lock in, and you will mm-hmm. never forget that logo.
Yeah, it's a very, very well done.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Like I said, I just make sure the name stays with it.
Yeah,
because now that I've seen the name, I'm like, oh yeah, it all clicks. So yeah.
Okay, great. So we also got news from the first logo. Okay. They do have different colors as well.
Okay.
So that's just to add that. And
so for this far logo, we got 2 for 2.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
So let me see what I was going to say. Okay. Yeah. And those listening at home, the second logo is kind of like an oval shape with like a fingerprint design with an S on it's dark green. Next, this is a motor. I believe it's a children's motorcycle company.
Yeah. Good colors, good font, good tagline. You can see the kind of on the K, there's kind of an indication of speed. Same with the italicized font, gives it that kind of motion of, you know, moving forward. Really stands out against the yellow.
The child looking colors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I said. They're great color choices. Everything pops. Everything looks good. I might draw a little bit more attention to the adventure starts here. You know, because the way that has the white border around it, and then you just have the adventure starts here. It kind of disappears a little bit. Like it's just, I feel like it takes too long for my eyes to go there. And I don't necessarily want to stay on the adventure starts here. I keep wanting to go back to the Kitty Moto. That one looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. The only, I'm with you, the Kitty Moto itself will, you know, it draws your attention. One thing that you might want to look at, you could either make the adventure starts here expand to the beginning and end of the logo, or it's very fine. It's very bold, and then it's very fine.
Yes.
The tagline. So you might want to change the font, make it a little bit thicker or bigger, or make it run the length, or keep it where it is. But I don't know. I might make it black so it pops.
Yeah, I like, so the logo file names thing, I actually think that font would probably work really well with the adventure starts here.
I can't even read that.
Yeah, there's like a thing right below it that says logo file names and color palette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not that color, because that color is kind of drab, obviously, since Norm can't even see it. But that font, I think would fit better because it's more fun. Like the adventure starts here is kind of it's a little fun, but it's average at the same time, but the logo and file names is more fun.
I see a Marsha just nailed it. This logo looks playful and fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. No, it's great. It looks really good.
Okay. On to the next, these are just some different colors they have, for the website, but,
yeah.
All right, next. There are two different designs here. I think one was an original, then the other was an example of another designer taking a crack at it.
Okay, let's go back.
So that's the original?
I believe so.
Okay.
I might have got them mixed up, though.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing the other one just because the image is the one on the orange box. The image is small, so I'm having a tough time making out the details. But it looks pretty good. Because it's, you know, it's a light up basketball, so that's clearly
Twilight black.
Yeah, it's a good name. The box on the left. I mean, clearly that's a basketball because it has the markings of a basketball. the way they put the border around it to keep the lines from interfering with the flowing text, especially because this is it. I haven't seen this font, so I'm guessing this is a custom font. You know, somebody took the time to actually, you know, hand draw each one of these letters, which is pretty cool.
They also have another box template here, which is a third design.
Too busy.
See, I find that one hard to read.
Yep, too busy. If you go back to the other one, I got a suggestion on the packaging. So,
this one?
Yeah, you could do two things: emboss the orange, or spot color it. So you make that glossy because it's a twilight. You want to bring it out. You can do like something very simple, which is just called spot. The rest of the box could either be gloss, and then that would be matte, or matte, and that could be gloss. And I would probably pick that matte, and then the lines be gloss. I think that would look really sharp.
It definitely would.
That's my favorite out of the group.
I agree. That's the one. That box right there is the one that just, out of all four of them, that's the one that I go, I'm going to take that off a shelf.
Yep.
Like, and just to look at the box.
Like all that stuff that you've got there with the check marks and all that, you know, you don't have to put it on the front. You know, the other one, keep it simple, just like we were talking about. And those could be on the side, you know, they could be on the back of the box, unless there's a reason for it. You know, I know that this is being primarily sold on Amazon. So, yeah, I would just keep it nice and simple.
Okay, this one, I don't have much information on it. I just got this file.
All right, who went to Fiverr?
Well, that's the thing is, I'd like to know what the company is, what they do, because if it's, you know, if it's more of a high-end company, then less is always more. So if, you know, like I could see this being, you know, $1,000 purses or something. And it's got the registered trademark. So I'm guessing it's been in use for a while.
All right.
I'm not crazy about the font. Again, you don't know what the product is, but I'm not crazy about the font. It's just.
Yeah. So if the person who sent me this, if they want to send any more information, just let me know. And then this is our last logo that we got in.
Okay.
And then what's the product and service for this?
I don't believe I got that information.
So can I say something about this? This would look real. I go on a limb here. This would look really good if you had, like right now, I think aesthetically it's off balance. It's kind of on a triangle, but maybe off to the side, to the left, that logo would look really good as part of the word design.
It's a home decor.
Home decor.
So like, are we talking lamps? Are we talking couches?
Home decor.
From my research, it is like shelving, rustic, like wall baskets, mug holders, floor raises.
Yeah, I think this logo fits with that. I'm with Norm. I'd be curious to see what it looks like on the left. I'm not feeling as much off balance as you are, Norm, but I'm not sitting here going, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, cause this is kind of what you see in that style of business, right? Like, I've seen a lot of logos that, you know, that look like this, in that sell, you know, home furnishings. And I would think that that would be a little bit more of my issue is how unique is it? You know,
what about, okay, two things. Getting rid of the logo and just having the word mark. And then the second part would be taking the word mark and centering it where the logo where the logo is, where you've got the circle and the other circle starts. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I still think that it might be, you know, if you blow it up and it's beside it, but I do like the font.
I do too.
It looks clean.
Yeah, it's clean. Like I said, my biggest issue is just I've seen a lot that look like this in this industry. And I just, my fear is that without knowing the name, it might be hard to find it, especially, you know, in those instances where you couldn't fit the name. You know, I'm sure there's instances where you can't get the actual text in. Mm-hmm. And then that's where, like, how memorable is that icon?
Yeah.
Oh, and for this one, I believe it's yep. a kid's product.
Okay.
It's a premium kid's product.
Premium kid's product. Now, when we're, one thing I just want to make sure everybody knows, between the three of us, it's like if you gave us a painting and we had to go and do this, you know, paint this,
right,
we're going to come up with three different designs. So, and that's just like different opinions. When I look at this, depending on what your kid's product is, that's not a kid's font.
But here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. Here's what's interesting about that is the target market for this isn't the kids. The target market is the parents because it's a high-end kids product.
Do we know that?
Yeah. As soon as you say high end, kids don't care. When we were kids, we played with cardboard boxes. We didn't care what it was, how much it cost. We either wanted it or we didn't. And this is for people who say, I'm spending a lot of money on my kids' clothes or my kids' toys. This is all for the moms and dads to say, look what I bought my kid. And so for that, I actually think the logo works because it is an adult logo, but it's the adults that are shelling out the money to pay for this stuff, right? This isn't something that the kid puts on his Christmas list. This is something that the parents say, I want my kid to have this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we know what type of product it is? Because I'm still not.
My guess is clothing.
Clothing?
That's okay. My guess. Based on what this logo is telling me, my guess is clothing.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have a specific. There's also, we got the two different colors from Soulmates as well.
Oh, okay.
Did they say why they chose the orangish red?
Earth tones. Soulmate. I mean, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
No, they didn't say.
I like the other, like, I know they've matched the tone, by the way. Like if you take a look and you see the color matching, mm-hmm. Their graphic artist has gone out and, you know, matched the color palette.
Yeah. No, they're it's definitely good.
Yeah. Now that comes out a bit better. I can see that better.
I was thinking the same thing. Like that pops more. It doesn't get as lost.
Let's take a look at my favorite color next. The orange.
It is 122. So
we've really gone.
We're having fun. We're having a ball.
See that
kind of has the thin line feel again for me. I feel like the darker background, for anything on the darker background, you'll want to add maybe even just like one point to the line.
Yeah, I know personally with orange, I've run into problems like when I'm trying to create a logo for Lunch with Norm. Yep. Something with the orange, just the thin lines just mm-hmm. bleeds right out. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
I wonder, with something like this, and I maybe, you know, because we do it with Lunch with Norm all the time, but I think what would pop is black.
Yeah.
I think that would look tremendous, nice.
What's interesting about what you're saying is black for night, and then when you reverse it, you'd have white for day.
Or orange for day, sunlight.
Or listen, neither of us have a problem with orange, so.
Yeah, there we go.
I got my orange shirt, you've got your orange beard.
I don't have an orange beard.
Well, in the logo.
For me, I think like a really dark blue, almost blackish would look nice.
Yeah. But it's again, calming. The color palettes, if you match that and get a really nice blue that'll go with that, that could look good too.
Yeah. You probably get away with, like black. A sky blue too.
Is this Kurtz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they have black too, they said. So
Nice job, Kurt. I like what I'm seeing, except when it's white on a dark color. It's very hard, for the old guy to see the colors.
I'm not that old.
Read it. I'm an old guy. Okay, where do we got next, Kels?
That's it for the designs that are all right. That came in.
All right, let's have a couple more questions and we can call it a day and we'll get to Lunch with Norm. But again, because we might have a bunch of people, we're going, this is extra long.
Yeah.
So if you are listening, you just joined us, Michael is going to be giving away a really great 1-year subscription to his course. And if you're listening to the information that he's providing, I mean, he knows his stuff. So it's a great subscription. Hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. If you tag 2 people, you get an extra entry. And if you like what you're hearing, give us a like.
Oh, actually, if you want, I think we just got another one.
Okay. Sure.
And I know, Michael has to get going.
Oh, yeah. You got a cutoff, don't you?
Meh.
Yeah.
Listen, we're having
fun.
We'll
keep you if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, no, unfortunately, I have another appointment at what would be 1:30 your time. So.
Okay. So I think once we do this, this will be the last one. Just make it nice and big. Okay.
I'm trying to imagine what the scratched out word would do. I'm guessing it's all balanced.
It starts with 2 T's, or starts with a T. The other
no,
one.
I it's not so. Even what the word is necessarily, but just kind of like, I mean, I get that it has to be censored and but like that, as we all know, that kind of watermark stuff, it like throws off the balance of things.
I'm not sure what it is. I'm thinking I like it.
And yeah, I'm not sure if it's something with a T and something tracks. Those look like G's. They look like G's to me.
Yeah, and again, it's perception, right? I was kind of thinking it was almost like a person with their hands over their head.
I see
it
that
just
too.
Depends what the product is. You know, if it is something to do with a fitness product or not sure.
Yeah, I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe like earphones or headphones.
Whose was that?
Not sure if they want it.
Okay, so it just, what type of product is it? Just so we can get an idea.
Yeah, so if you sent this in, just let me know or in the comment section.
I'm going to guess it's a train construction company because of the tracks.
The tracks? Oh, the tracks. Okay. All right. So let's do a question while we wait.
Do you want to do the Wheel of Kelsey? I think, I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, we got to get going. It's 1:25. All right. So let's get into the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right, here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
And now Kelsey is mute.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
right. So I believe I got everyone. We got tons of people. So I'll shuffle all these names. Here we go.
Put me in there too. I want to.
3, 2, 1.
I can't see.
All right. This is from our YouTube viewer, Substantifique.
All right.
Welcome.
The new winner.
Congratulations.
Substantifique Moel. So let us know. Email me at k@lunchwithnorm.com and I'll connect you with the prize. Yeah, Michael gave it the code already, so I've got that for you. Yeah. All right. Do you want to mention the discount code for everyone, or do you want to?
Yeah. So for anyone who's listening today, I'm offering a 15% discount on a year subscription, just because honestly, you guys are awesome. I love the questions. I love the logos. Like, just awesome. So it's Live with Norm, all one word, all lowercase. Or sorry, Lunch with Norm. Forgive me. Lunch with Norm, all lowercase, all one word. And you put that in when you sign up, and you get a 15% discount for the year.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, awesome. So I'll be putting that into the Facebook group too. And yeah, so.
And
now you have to get going.
Last thing, Michael.
Yes.
Your website, just if you could, contact information.
Sure. It is designfromscratchconcepts.com. And if you want to reach out, it's info@designfromscratchconcepts.com. And fantastic. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So we'll let you go. And thank you again for being on. We'll get you back on to answer some more questions maybe in
I'd love
the
it.
Next
this
month.
This was so much fun. You guys All are right. the best. Awesome. This was great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. We enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody. So hopefully you enjoyed this extra long hour and a half podcast about branding. we will get Michael back on. It looks like there's tons of information, tons of questions. We're going to post those questions in the group, and hopefully Michael can come back and just answer those in the group for you. Okay, now I backed him in the corner that he's gone. Okay, so Kelsey, what's happening? What's happening next Monday?
All right, Monday we have Stephen Pope. He's coming on.
Going to
be
Pope.
Talking some Amazon market forces, aggregators, Chinese suppliers, all bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, he dropped really incredible information last time about this is the one thing that I took away from it about the launch. So listing and creating your titles and how to optimize your titles for a launch, but then removing them and putting up a different title 3 months into it. It was pretty cool. So I'm sure he's going to drop us a bit more knowledge here on that. Also, just a reminder, just wanted to thank our guests from yesterday, our special podcast that we had, Josh Marsden. And just to remember that he's got his event coming up on the 19th to the 21st that I think is going to be fantastic. So check that out. All right. That's about it.
Yeah. Unless you have we got our AirPod Pro contest happening now. The links are, I just added all the links. Click on that. It's open for everyone. So follow that. And easy to enter, no problem. And we have our special Lunch with Norm contest happening only in the group. If you search hashtag LWN Beard Nation, you'll see a bunch of the entries. They're great. I love it. I want them to keep coming. And thank you, everyone. This was a fun episode. I think we got to do this again.
All right. Okay, everybody. So join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Eastern Standard Time, noon Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for watching. Thank you for all the engagement that we had today. That was fantastic. Thanks for being part of our community, and enjoy your weekend. 100, 100, 100.